Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Maybe I'm crazy, but I know who the best team in the league is. And it's not really a hot take.
Maybe I'm crazy.
Welcome to the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast. I'm Joy Taylor, and I am so excited today. My favorite player to watch play the game right now is Derrick Henry. King Henry is joining us today on the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast, and I cannot wait to talk to him. He is amazing. He is killing it right now, getting MVP conversation going. So we'll talk to Derrick Henry. The whole crazy gang is here. Heller, Donnie, and T with the culture report. So we will get to them as well. Talk Cowboys. Whew, disaster. Cowboys, Packers, Bucks. Who's the best team? Got a lot of stuff going on around the league. And we'll get to all of it. But let's get started with King Derrick Henry. All right. I am very, very, very excited to have my favorite current NFL player, Derrick Henry, King Henry, on the podcast today. Derrick, thank you so much for coming on with us.
Thank y'all for having me. Appreciate it.
This is very exciting for me because honestly, I love watching you play every Sunday. I need you to explain how you do it because I feel like you're like supposed to be playing in a league that's better than the NFL and everyone else is just trying to keep up with you. But Derrick joins us on behalf of Dr. Teals, the popular Epsom salt soak used by professional athletes to ease body aches and sore muscles. Derrick uses Dr. Teals as part of his routine to speed up muscle recovery after big game of grueling practice. This season, Derrick, along with George Kittle and Aaron Donald, have launched a social media campaign with Dr. Teals to show fans how they can recover like a professional athlete. So tell us a little bit about this collaboration.
Definitely happy to collaborate with Dr. Teals. I've been using it before I collaborated with them just to help my body get back under me. We know that's important, especially in my position because we get hit a lot. And it definitely, helps me recharge my body, recharge my muscles, get all that soreness out, have me ready for preparation for the next week when I'm practicing, get ready for a game. So if you haven't used all the tools, I definitely and highly recommend that you use it to, relax and, get your muscles back under if you play sports or, or exercise or anything like that.
Well, I would argue that most people are bouncing off of you, but I guess, there's a little bit of impact involved either way. So you broke national high school rushing records, Heisman winner at Alabama, all pro running back, and you're kind of with a legacy organization at the running back position, Chris Johnson, Eddie George, Earl Campbell. What's it like just being in an organization that has a legacy like that at your position?
I love it. I watch all those guys, so it's kind of cool, being able to watch those guys and then play for an organization, hear about the great things they did and also saw the great things they did, and then getting to meet those guys. So it's like a kid in candy store. It's the coolest thing in the world.
So you had 264 yards, two touchdowns, 52 receiving yards, a game-winning play against a battle against Houston this weekend. What does it feel like getting a win like that? Like, how do you feel after? I mean, it's an overtime win. Houston gave you all they could. What's that feel like?
Just happy to be 5-0. It's a division opponent, so we all familiar with each other, so we know it's gonna be a big game. And they always play tough and always play us tough. And Deshaun, he's great at what he does. So, we're happy to, finish with the ball in our hands and, us getting a win at the end.
Yeah, Deshaun did not seem too happy that you guys are going to get the ball first there.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, you guys are 5-0. And I got to be honest, the national talk around the Titans, I don't think we really give you guys a lot of credit. And you're playing amazing football. So, what's the attitude like around the team? Because you're not getting in the conversations yet, and I think that this weekend will kind of
solve that because you're going to be playing the Steelers, which we'll talk about in a second. But what's the attitude around the team? Obviously, you guys are 5-0 and feeling great, but, you know, the talk is still around the Ravens and the Packers and the Bucks and the Chiefs.
We like it that way. Keep it that way. Keep us the underdog, and we'll just keep working. That's what we like. Expect nothing from us, and we just keep working and week by week and improving. So we like it that way, underdog mentality. That's how we like to approach everything.
So I watched a lot of Ryan Tannehill. I'm a Dolphins fan and a Steelers fan. So I watched a lot of Ryan Tannehill, and I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback have one reputation and kind of assessment and then go to another organization and be what he's doing there. So what's your assessment or your opinion of Ryan Tannehill? Because whatever he was with the Dolphins, he ain't that now. Or maybe that was Gase and he's with Vrabel now. It's a different situation. I think you play a huge role in his success as well. But what do you think of Ryan Tannehill and his development?
I think it's just sometimes you just need to, I guess, a brand new start, being another system. And I think it just fits him well. It's a perfect situation. And he's been balling. That's all I can say. He has just been balling. Ryan Tannehill in Miami ain't the same Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. So whatever they want to say, Ryan been balling. It's time to start that MVP campaign for him.
Well, speaking of the MVP talk, he's definitely not the same. He's definitely not the same Ryan Tannehill. I'm with you there. But there's a lot of MVP talk for you. What does that sound like to you? Like when you hear that people are saying that you could be the MVP of the league?
I wouldn't say right now. It's too early. I had one. You know, it was a big game. Just keep working, keep improving. The guys who are definitely in the conversation need to be in the conversation. I'm just gonna keep working. I mean, I don't think, you know, I'm deserving of it. And at the time, I'm just gonna keep working.
Well, I would disagree. I think you should be in the MVP conversation. And
I appreciate it.
I thought that you were really the heart and soul of the team last year. And I do think that you guys you have a different feel this year. Last year, I think there was a little bit of a lightning in the bottle kind of assessment of you guys. And you've been so consistent this year. And I think really have taken the next step up. But who's the leader? Like, who's the vocal leader? Is it you? Is it Ryan? Like, who's the guy in that locker room that's really like the pulse of the team?
Well, I would say Ryan, you know, Kevin Byard, they definitely speak up a lot. As a quarterback, I feel like you have to be a leader. And Ryan does that. He communicates with us. Whenever he feels like he needs to speak up, he definitely does that. Same thing with KB. You know, like, I feel like they're both the generals on both sides, and they do their job very well as being leaders and at their positions.
Mike Vrabel is all over the place right now because he pulled a little move there at the end, at the end of the game. What's Coach Vrabel like?
Well, you know, Coach Vrabel played in the league a long time, won Super Bowls, you know, played at a high level. So he's been in football for a long time and, you know, been in the NFL, you know, for a long time. So, you know, he's very smart. He studies. So, you know, and he makes sure we're well prepared, the whole team, from the coaching staff, and, you know, make sure that we all know the situation, things we need to do in the game. So that's just him, really. That's just Coach Vrabel. Loves football 24/7, 365.
So you guys are going into a really big matchup this weekend. You're undefeated. The Steelers are undefeated. So one, can you take it easy on them? Just take it easy on my Steelers. And what are you?
Make it easy on me.
So what's the game plan, but what's your attitude going into this week? The Steelers have a really good defense, obviously, and are playing well as well.
Yeah, eat my Wheaties and buckle my chin strap tight. Make sure my cleats are tied tight and my pads and everything is on the correct way. This is gonna be a physical matchup.
Do you have a pregame routine?
No, I just do the same things. I'm kind of superstitious a little bit, so I have to do the same thing all the time. So yes, I do have a pregame routine. I feel like I'm thrown off.
I'm the same way. I'm weird about it. Like I. Yeah. I like to park in the same parking spot. I eat the same thing for breakfast every day. You know, obviously I'm not going into a matchup against the 5-0 Steelers, but, you know, I got a job to do every day. I get weird. Like, if I do something, like, I wore a cloth mask yesterday. I always wear the paper ones into work, and I wore a cloth one, and I just got weird. Like, as soon as I got to work, I was like, I need to put the paper one on.
I'm the same way on game day.
So, do you do, like, the old track move where you eat, like, a big pasta dinner the night before, or are you, like, a light salad guy?
No, you know, it's funny. I'm straight water and bananas.
Water and bananas?
Yes.
Like the night before?
No, like the day, like night before. I don't try to eat too heavy. I don't really like, I got to eat this the night before. No, but the day of is water and bananas. That's all I eat.
Is the bananas for like cramps or something?
Yeah. I'm just superstitious. I have to stretch. It's a whole routine. It's a whole routine. So I make sure I get there just so I have enough time to go through my whole routine for the game.
So you have 3 career games with 200 plus rushing yards and 2 touchdowns. The only other players in NFL history to do that are Jim Brown, Barry Sanders, and LaDainian Tomlinson. So you're being mentioned with some Hall of Famers there, the greatest to ever do it. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like your running style is so unique, partly because you're so fast, but you just look bigger, like you're just bigger than everyone else and so fast. And each of those guys kind of had a very unique style in their own way. Do you compare yourself to other running backs in history and around the league, or do you feel like you just do your own thing?
Yeah, I try to do my own thing. I think those guys were good at what they do, and that's what made them special. And I was just trying to do my own thing. It's definitely a lot of things I can pick from their game, but really I just try to have my own running style and do my own thing.
So I'm wearing a Kobe shirt today. You posted a video of a chain. You have a Mamba chain. Obviously, rest in peace, Kobe. The Lakers just won the championship against my Heat. Are you a Kobe fan or a Lakers fan?
I'm a big Kobe fan. I mean, I've been a Kobe fan since I was a little kid. But I'm a Lakers fan as well. But just Kobe is one of my favorite athletes of all time. So I'm a mentality Kobe. I'm all that. Love Kobe. Love 2, 4, 8, the whole thing. I'm Kobe to the death.
What is Mamba mentality to you?
I think this perseverance, hard work, always wanting to be the best no matter what, never satisfied. I could go on and on because even when I say those words, I can just see Kobe, you know, when he played, or just seeing videos of Kobe at practice, and just, you know, so motivating to see how great somebody was and still want more, never satisfied. At the top of the mountain and still hungry. And, you know, that's somebody, you know, you being an athlete playing sports, that I don't think, you know, it gets no better than that as far as somebody being a role model. And, you know, I definitely try to carry that Mamba mentality every day. I actually have a pair of Kobe's that Nike sent me that they released this year, and had like a note that you can write for yourself as far as what you think my Mamba mentality is, and have it in my locker that I look at every day.
That's dope. Yeah. Well, thank you so much again for joining us. I really appreciate it. I really do talk about you a lot because I really enjoy watching you play. I think you play with such a unique style. You're just a little bit of old school toughness, but just speed, and it's just like just unstoppable. So I'm really happy for you guys. I'm glad you're playing well. I'm not gonna say I hope you have a bad game against the Steelers, but like just, you know. Just give them a little break. Just a little break. Eat like one less banana. But best of luck to you for the rest of the season. You absolutely deserve MVP votes this year and did last year. So thank you again for joining us. And you can also soak up some social media videos on Instagram at Dr. Teals, the leading personal care brand, helping athletes ease body aches and sore muscles. Plus help speed up recovery time. Thank you so much, Derek. King Henry, everyone.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And y'all take care.
You too. With it.
We about to turn up in this bitch.
What's up, Heller? What am I winning or quitting today?
Aloha, Joy. Happy Tua Tuesday.
Thank you.
Right?
Yes. That's very fun. I'm going to make that a thing, actually. Is that a thing? Can I steal that?
That's all you. That's a Maybe I'm Crazy podcast original, Tua Tuesday.
Tua Tuesday? Okay, cool. Bet. Cool. We're on that.
Let's go. Tua. Right. Okay, so hopefully Donnie put some ukulele music in now, if that's not too much cultural appropriation.
Probably.
I'll let him decide.
Yeah.
Your Dolphins, Joy, told the world Tuesday that they are going with their 2020 fifth overall pick after the bye week. Seems inevitable, but Ryan Fitzpatrick did have Miami rolling, beating up my battered Niners and mollywomping the Jets this week, 24-0. Joy, the Dolphins are putting Tua in early. Quit it or quit it?
Quit it. It's Tua late. Should have been in weeks ago. Listen, I have a lot of respect, all sarcasm aside, a lot of respect for Ryan Fitzpatrick. He is a cool-ass dude. He's got a cool ass beard. He's a good family man, and he's a Harvard educated. If you didn't know, did you know that he went to Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard? Did you know that?
Harvard also, if you don't know this, is in the Ivy League, Joy. I don't know if you knew that Harvard is in the Ivy League.
That's where smart people come. We're being sarcastic if you don't know why, because they say that every time they say Ryan Fitzpatrick's name.
UC Davis is a decent school.
Look, honestly, if I went to Harvard, I would tell every motherfucker I met every day that I went to Harvard.
I
would be like, hello, I'm Joy Taylor. I went to Harvard. I graduated from Harvard. I have a Harvard degree. You can't tell me nothing. Ellis, I love my Barry University degree, private university. Shout out Barry Bucks. Anyway, point is, he's a great dude, and he's been super supportive of this situation, at least publicly. It seems like, I mean, he's an authentic guy. He knows what it is, that he's there to, you know, play football as long as he can and also be a mentor to Tua and teach him how to be a pro, which is what he's been doing. And listen, we all know that the magic is going to come to an end at some point, right? Everyone's freaking out about taking Ryan Fitzpatrick out right now. Don't freak out. We know what Ryan Fitzpatrick is. That's why he's on his ninth team. That's why he's with the Dolphins in a situation where he is a role player, veteran to teach Tua how to be a NFL quarterback. There's a reason why he's in this situation. And it's not because he's the future of the franchise, or they wouldn't have taken Tua fifth overall. So I don't understand everyone like, oh, Fitzpatrick's playing well. Like, so what? It's Ryan Fitzpatrick. We know what it is at this point. He's going to play well, and then eventually he's going to hit a wall like he always does. And then it's going to be a disaster. And then you're going to be throwing Tua out there as opposed to prepping Tua for 2 weeks to come in and play NFL football.
Mm-hmm.
You have some strategy in your life. Brian Flores is a very smart man, okay? He knows what he's doing. Furthermore, you saw how everyone freaked out when they put Tua in garbage time. Don't you think the owner's like...
Yeah, that's the part, though, that makes me worry. When the owner is making the football decisions, is that good, Joy?
I'm not saying that he is. I'm just saying, let's not pretend like this isn't a part of what's going on. And beyond that, I said this weeks ago, once Herbert came in and was playing the way that he played right off jump, that the clock started for Tua time anyway.
Yep.
So here
we
are.
Yep.
Now Dolphins fans out here talking about we're 3-3 and, we just beat the Niners and we just beat the Jets. We beat a hobbled Niners team, no disrespect, okay? And the New York Jets, who are the worst team in football. Worst team in football, okay? They need the number one overall pick. They're terrible. So there's not.
Do they have any wins, the Jets?
No, zero wins. This many, okay? Not with the fingers up, actually. This many wins.
Yeah,
zero, for anyone who's listening. They're bad. So I don't care about that. The point is, you drafted Tua to be the future of the franchise. A franchise, by the way, might I remind you, hasn't had a franchise quarterback since Dan Marino. Dan Marino is now like the head of football operations. He's the king of the Dolphins, but that was a long, long, long time ago, okay? I love Dan Marino, king of the Dolphins. We love you, Dan. Okay?
Great tan. Got a great tan.
And does amazing commercials, all right? But he's no longer there, and we need a new quarterback. And Tua is supposed to be that guy. And we got to find out sooner rather than later if he is that guy, because the wheels are turning on this quarterback situation in the NFL. There's no patience for quarterbacks. They're talking about replacing Daniel Jones already, okay? Like, if the Giants are no longer going to get the number one overall pick, they're already talking about it. Sam Darnold is likely gone, okay, from the New York Jets. Like, Trevor Lawrence, if they get that pick, Sam Darnold is not going to be a New York Jet. Trevor Lawrence will be in the quarterback of the New York Jets. It happens that quick. So you have to find out what you have in Tua so that you can move forward appropriately. And listen, I think Tua is a franchise quarterback, right? That's yep. Certainly hope so. That's why we took him fifth overall. But you got to find out what he is, okay? You have to find – he didn't go fifth overall, right? Fourth, fifth.
Yeah, fifth. I checked. I looked on Wikipedia. If we're wrong, blame Wikipedia.
It's mostly right. Draft was a while ago. The point is, he is the future of the Dolphins. You have to see what he is. Stop worrying about, we're winning right now. We're winning. Shut up. Like, Dolphins fans make me absolutely nuts with this. This is why they're always terrible. Because they insist on just stupid shit, like putting in Matt Moore for Ryan Tannehill. Are you watching Ryan Tannehill? I love Matt Moore, too. Like, one of the all-time best backup quarterbacks in league history, in my opinion. Okay?
Yep.
You heard the word I used to describe him, and that is, he is a backup. So, just please be quiet and just allow Brian Flores and the Dolphins to develop the team, okay? Stop talking about, we're going to win the division. Not going to win the division. The Bills are going to win the division, and maybe the Patriots are going to finish with a better record than the Dolphins, too. And you know what? That's okay, because it's not about this year. You have to think for the future, all right? Build an organization. Brian Flores showed he was capable of doing that last year. Even though they didn't have a great season, they played well. They played competitive. They're building a culture. This is the absolute right time. You have a bye week. You have 2 weeks to prepare. People tweeting me about, well, they're going to put him in against the LA Rams and Aaron Donald, as opposed to the other defensive lineman that he's going to play against for the rest of his career. Like, yes, do I want to start my career against Aaron Donald if I'm Tua? Yeah, I could probably pick a worse defensive line to start against. Sure. Okay. Sure. But I'm going to be all right, because that's the future anyway. Like, you're going to play against guys who aren't as good as Aaron Donald, but still pretty good. And they're still going to be chasing after you, trying to take your head off. So this idea that, like, oh, we should have waited until they weren't playing the Rams. Just please leave this to people who understand football and who do this for a living. Okay. And I'm not talking about me. I'm saying I trust Brian Flores has made a plan. He didn't just wake up this morning, like, have his coffee and be like, you know what? I think I'm going to switch to Tua. Likely this was the plan all season long. And they didn't let everyone else know in on it, which was a good idea by them. Yeah. They have the Rams next. Then they're at the Cardinals. Then they have the Chargers at home. Not that it matters, because Tua is the starting quarterback moving forward, and they're going to play whoever the fuck is on the schedule, okay? Which I'm fine with, because he's supposed to be an NFL quarterback, and we need to see if he is. I am excited. I am tired of hearing about how Fitzpatrick should have stayed out there and won a couple more meaningless games to maybe get us a wild card win so that we could get completely swamped in the first round of the playoffs as a wild card team and accomplish absolutely nothing except for getting a worse draft pick. And still not knowing what we have in Tua. So there you go. Sorry if I'm being pessimistic, Dolphins fans, but you sound ridiculous. And I refuse to allow this narrative to continue that we were going to, like, ride off into the sunset with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
It's no diss to Ryan Fitzpatrick, but, like, just keep a level head. Good gracious.
Many of your points are good. It does sound a little bit like you're looking so far forward into the future that you hate the present. But I will... I will say that this, I agree that this is the time.
Do you love it here right now, Heller? Does anyone love it here? Okay, it's 2020. Does anyone love it here?
No.
Nobody loves it here.
We shouldn't say it could never get worse, because
it can always get worse. I don't say that. I just know it will get worse. Whatever we're experiencing with Ryan Fitzpatrick, it will get worse from here. Okay. It might stay the same, but there's a guarantee that it will get worse. Okay. So just ride it out with me. Fitz knows, Flores knows, and now Tua knows. And the rest of us know the future of the Dolphins is Tua Tagovailoa.
I have one comment and one question before we move on. First is, I would like to just say, next time you run into Mr. Marino, tell him out there with all your Florida folks, tell him I thought he was really good in both Ace Ventura and Bad Boys 2.
Great cameo in Bad Boys 2.
Smaller role in Bad Boys 2, but...
All-time movie cameo.
Oh, I'm going to drive the shit out of this. And then my question is, what happens? You said it's not the best three games for Tua to get in there. I understand the bye week makes the most sense. You got 2 weeks to prep. Boom, that game happens. If that game doesn't go well, and then those next two games you're talking about doesn't go well, now what happens? Versus, you know, in a perfect world, this bye week would be week 10, and they could push this a little further down the road. But is there a world where they got to pull him back out of there if this doesn't go well, Joy?
Sure. If he's a complete disaster, yeah, then you pull him out. And guess what? Ryan Fitzpatrick goes right back in because he loves playing football more than anything else in the world. Why he's still playing football? He'll be all right.
He really makes it easy. Yeah.
I don't understand what the problem is. That's actually the best case scenario. Tua goes out there and he can't – not the best case scenario. The best case scenario is that he's better than Patrick Mahomes. Okay?
Right.
But another scenario that plays out and why this is a good decision is if Tua can't play, well, now you know he can't play. So then we draft someone else next year or we make a trade for a Sam Darnold or something like that. I don't think that's going to be the case, but you have to know what you have in Tua. And why not now? Because you already know what you have in Ryan Fitzpatrick.
These young quarterbacks better be careful. It's a Josh Rosen world they're living in. It's about to be just Lamar and Josh Allen from that draft still on those teams in 3 years at this pace. So anyway, let's move on. Prime time is the wrong time to lose in embarrassing fashion. Millions of Americans and probably a handful of folks up early or late in England watch America's team fall apart on Monday Night Football. Ezekiel Elliott was seemingly full because he fed the Cardinals 2 fumbles, and needless to say, Andy Dalton did not fill Dak Prescott's shoes. Joy, the Cowboys aren't going to win the worst division in football, win it or quit it.
Quit it. They're still going to win. I don't think
just by fault, though. Sure.
I mean, win. Like, they just
not lose.
They'll just, yeah, not lose it. It's not an accomplishment or something. I don't think that Andy Dalton is that bad. I don't think Zeke is this bad. But I think there's something awry in Dallas. I was trying to think of a good Halloween-y term. I couldn't think of anything. But
they got the spookies for sure.
They got the spookies.
The scaries. They got the scaries.
The spookies, the scaries, and something is awry. Something they write down there in Dallas. That's not a good Dallas accent either.
I thought it was good.
Was it a good Texas accent? I don't know.
Got me rigged up, Joy.
The point is, it's madness. Like, it's all falling apart. You've got James They're Slater had a dropped just an absolute Jane bomb on everyone today. She tweeted, Cowboys players are initially bought into keeping things internal. Now they sit at 2-4. The discontent is leaking out. On the coaching staff, they're, quote, totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly. Another one said they just aren't good at their jobs. So here we are. Everything is completely falling apart. Dak is not coming back for this year. And Zeke is giving the ball away at a record pace. And Jerry Jones is out here defending his coach right away, which, look, this is the problem with Dallas. And it's always been the problem with Dallas. And I thought that this might end with Mike McCarthy because, you know, he is a Super Bowl winning quarterback or coach, and, you know, he should be able to come in with some level of respect, right? He worked with Aaron Rodgers. He won a Super Bowl. He knows his shit, right? He's a football guy. And it's still just Jerry running the show. And, like, I don't think that was, like, completely going to change, but it clearly is not. And the attitude in Dallas is – that Mike McCarthy, the mic doesn't really stop with Mike McCarthy. It doesn't. It stops with Jerry. And that's a dysfunctional...
Jason Garrett treatment.
Yeah, that's a dysfunctional setup. It doesn't work. It didn't work with Jason Garrett. It's not going to work with Mike McCarthy. I do think we probably should be a little more patient with Mike McCarthy because it is his first year in a COVID-shortened year. But the Cowboys are falling apart. And also, we keep looking at this Cowboys team as if they're the same team that was there when Dak and Zeke were rookies. It's not. The offensive line was the number 2 offensive line in the NFL. Some had them ranked number 1.
Porous.
It's porous. It's all backups. It's a completely different situation. Their defense is not good, and I'm being kind. So, that's
real bad.
That's actually the problem. Like, the offensive line is really bad, but I don't think Andy Dalton is this bad, and I don't think that Zeke is this bad. The defense, however, is actually that bad. They have the 26th ranked defense in terms of yards allowed per game and the league's worst defense in points allowed. And they've allowed 218 points so far this season. That's tied for the 4th most points allowed by defense through 6 games in NFL history. In NFL history. So no one's got to go. That's for sure. Okay. So without question, he's gone next year. They have a lot of things that they need to work around and retool, but this year just ain't the year for them. And don't get it confused. They're still going to win the NFC East. which is terrible. Meaningless. And I want to emphasize, meaningless. The Eagles, yeah. Their entire starting offense is injured. The whole offense, the entire team is injured. Everyone. The Washington football team, I don't even know where to start. I don't even know where to start with the Washington football team. Their defense is okay. Like, that's it. And the Giants just won their first game over the Washington football team, and they're a disaster as well. So it's no you get no cookies for winning the NFC East this year, but they have a lot of things that they need to change and do. And I was very, very wrong about the Cowboys this year. And look, Dak's not there. He's their leader. He's their glue. I don't even think that comment would have gotten out to Jane Slater if Dak was there.
They would have told Dak, and he would have calmed him down.
Right.
Rally the troops.
So it's unfortunate, but it's just – I just think it's one of those years for Dallas where it's like, it's just a wash. You just got to be okay with that. I mean, not to be okay with it, but, I mean, just stop putting unrealistic expectations on the Cowboys.
It feels like it's always a wash with the Cowboys. It seems to me like the problem – with the most that the Cowboys have is like the dudes get the star on their helmet and they think they're a star. And so it really like, it, and it's also like a question for you. It's just microphone in your face. Everyone, the owner answers questions after the game out there, you know, they'll catch a third string player. The Jane bomb though, man, that was nice. That was like a report personification of this motherfucker. He's still coach, still talking. Come on, like it really, I was just a
yeah. People are fed up, and it was today was just like a treat of NFL news. Like between that and Tua news, it was like steak and eggs at brunch with unlimited mimosas.
Woo!
Just wonderful.
What is brunch? I don't remember what that is.
No, I was thinking about brunch biscuits yesterday. I think I might go get some this week.
Yeah, and then eat them in your car. Eat them at home.
Brunch biscuits. Yeah. Well, no brunch biscuits for winning the NFC East, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, the Cowboys would be fifth in the NFC West right now. So congratulations.
What up, Donnie? What's going on at High Key Low Key this week?
What's up? All right. High key, after returning from the COVID-19 reserve list, Cam Newton led the Patriots to an 18-12 loss against a Broncos team that was 0-3 2 weeks ago. Low key, with just two practices in the past 2 weeks, this loss shouldn't have surprised as many people as it has. Teams practice for a reason.
High key, yes. I think we probably forgot Drew Lock is a little bit better than their backup quarterbacks, and that we had higher expectations for the Broncos coming into this season, and also that the Patriots weren't really as good as they were pitching to us without Cam Newton, because we saw that last week. And Cam, off of no practice, after having joined the Patriots not that long ago, shouldn't really be that surprising. Was disappointing, sure, because they lost last week, and now they're losing to what we overall feel is kind of an inferior Broncos team, but I'm not really panicking about this loss. The loss without Cam, like, obviously it still counts, but I'm not counting it against the Patriots overall as far as how I'm assessing a team. You don't have your starting quarterback. Okay. Like, it is what it is. Now, the Broncos, that's a different situation. You kind of need to win that game. But again, I'm taking into consideration the fact that there's been no practice, the fact that Cam hasn't been there that long, and the fact that the Broncos are actually not that bad of a team to begin with. They got Drew Lock back, and now they're in a better situation. So, overall, I'm not freaking out about this loss. It's a very unpatriot-like loss. I think they'll get back on track. The AFC East is a little more interesting now that we've got Tua. And the Dolphins have been playing well. Bills just lost two in a row. So it's still in play. I still think the Bills will win that division. But I don't want to overreact too much to this Patriots loss.
All right, that sounds like a smart thing. No overreactions for that. No. All right. Heike, the Packers versus the Bucks was arguably the matchup of the week. And it inarguably failed to live up to those expectations, thanks in large part to the constant pressure applied by Tampa. Low-key, this game felt like deja vu of last year's NFC Championship game. Shouldn't Green Bay have addressed his protection issues by now?
Well, they were too busy drafting quarterbacks that are never going to see the field, Jordan Love, and not getting receivers. Look, I don't know. I don't want to give too much credit to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in this situation, but kind of looks like Green Bay can't play with physical teams still. And yeah. I don't love that, because that was my issue with them last year was that was Collins' issue with them last year, is why he was so out on them. And I was so in on them, because I felt like they can play great when they aren't in those situations. But guess what? That's NFL football. Like, you're going to run up right. against a physical team that's not as put together as you, or is playing as fluid as you are. And obviously the Buccaneers weren't. They had hella penalties last week, zero this week. Like, they clearly got their bleep together. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know how telling it is. Again, I don't want to overreact to one loss, but you're right. It looked eerily like that San Francisco game. It kind of looks like every time they get pushed around that it becomes a problem. I mean, you've got Aaron Rodgers talking shit to Ndamukong Suh. I don't know what to make about that. It's
flashback to Sue's Detroit days. That's also a flashback.
Don't do that. But yeah, I mean, look, the Buccaneers played a great game, so I can't take anything away from them. They're a good team. I think overall the Packers are better, but they didn't look it. Like, that was a boring-ass game for a game that was supposed to be an unbelievable matchup. And if you're a Buccaneers fan, of course you loved it. And we still watched every second of it, waiting for Aaron Rodgers to get them back in it, and he just never did. I appreciate the three pumps celebration. Yeah, yeah. But you got to follow that up with, like three more touchdowns, and that didn't happen. So I don't know. I don't want to freak out, but it looks like they're going to have some problems with physical teams. And maybe they just need – maybe they know that now. So game plan for those situations.
They play the Texans this week. I expect Aaron Rodgers to play like he's pissed. I feel like this is the kind of thing that he thrives off of, all of this negative energy that's surrounding the team right now. He's about to bounce back hard.
He loves it.
Yeah. All right, high key. Week 6 was a good one for most of the remaining winless teams, with the Falcons and the Giants both getting their first W's of the season. Low key, with the Jets now as the front runners for the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes, should Trevor pull an Eli and say, no thank you, if he gets drafted by the J-E-T-S? Jets, 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 Jets.
No bleeping way. I saw this on the internet somewhere, and I was like, who, what? Like, first of all, No, there's maybe you could do that with Jacksonville. Maybe you could do that with, I don't know.
I see where you're going with this.
But like, there's not a lot of teams in the league that you can get away with saying, I'm not going there. And the New York Jets are not one of them. Like, let's not forget, you're talking about New York City. Do you really want to have one of the places on your list where you need a pass to go there be New York City? Okay, you can't say no to New York City. You're out of your mind.
You'll never forget.
If you get drafted to the New York Jets, your ass going to the New York Jets. That's where you're going. And you should. Trevor Lawrence going to the New York Jets is a perfect situation for him. No, it is not ideal. No, they are not going to be in a good situation. Yes, they will be rebuilding. Yes, they will have a new head coach. But the new head coach will be taking Trevor Lawrence. So he will be building around him and believing in him. And it will be rid of this nonsense Adam Gase situation. And they'll build for the future. They're already trading away players. Like, it's going to be a young team. Listen, they're the Cincinnati Bengals of last year. Okay, so it is what it is. They're going to get the number one overall pick. They're awful. Awful. And that's exactly where Trevor Lawrence is going. And he should thank his lucky stars, actually, that he's going to New York City and not Jacksonville. And no just to Jacksonville, but like...
There's a difference.
There's a difference. It's and personally, I am happy that the New York Jets is where he's going to end up and not Jacksonville or Minnesota or... And like, look, I'm not taking jabs at small markets. I'm just saying, when do we ever get a situation like this where... A star of Trevor Lawrence's caliber is going to New York City? It's a big deal. Exactly. Like, I'm excited this is lining up this way. It's been an awful year for the Jets. I don't love the Jets organization overall, but hopefully they will make some sweeping changes and at least start building in the right direction with him there. So short answer, absolutely f-ing not. He is not going to pull an Eli Manning out of New York City. Like,
It's not a smart move.
I strongly advise against that.
I didn't like when Eli did it. It worked out for Eli. He got 2 Super Bowl rings. But I can remember, I can put myself back into my, like, 2004 self and remember the feelings that I got from that. And it was all privilege. I remember Archie Manning speaking for Eli, and I just got the vibe of privilege, and this whole situation felt like privilege to me. And I feel like that kind of stuck with Eli, in my mind at least, and I don't want to see that for Trevor.
Yeah, first of all, it's very risky, because you better win multiple championships. Yeah. A. Yeah. B, who are you that you can just say before you've ever touched an NFL field that you're going to diss an organization? And like you said, it worked out for both organizations, really. Mm-hmm. But in today's day and age, where people keeping receipts like this,
yeah, not a good look.
I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think he will do that. By the way, this is not coming from him. I don't think he will do that. But I also do not think it's a good idea. And if he does do that, where are you trying to go, bro?
Yeah, what's your alternative?
Like, you're not going to get that far back in the draft, right? So like, where else are you? Are you so excited to go?
In the that options situation? Are limited.
Yeah. So you go where you go. Okay. Like, they were talking about that with Cincinnati with Joe Burrow. Like, no, he's going to go to Cincinnati. Like, that's where he's going. None of us love it, but it is what it is. All right. And now I'm loving watching Bengals games. Like, I like watching him. He's exciting. He has brought juice to that team, even if they are stinky. So, no, that's a no-go for me.
All right. High key. We're about a third of the way through the NFL season. I feel like this is a good benchmark where we can pause and take a snapshot and judge the teams in that picture that we just took. Joy, when you look at the pick of the NFL right now, low-key, which team is looking the best?
So, like, you have the undefeated Steelers, obviously, my Pittsburgh Steelers, which look great, but they haven't really played that much tough competition. And then you have the Titans, who also look great, and they're kind of in the same situation. Luckily, the two of them play each other this week. It was going to be probably the matchup of the year, and I'm very much looking forward to it. We thought it was going to be Bucks-Packers, turned out to be a dud. Very excited for this game. Steelers, Titans, we'll see what's up. But in my opinion, the Chiefs are clearly the best team in the league. Not only do they come into the season as the best team in the league, arguably if you want to go with the Ravens, that's fine. I'm not going to freak out. But the Chiefs beating the Bills yesterday just showed me they're the best team in the league. Mm-hmm. The Bills completely took away all of their deep threats, X'd out all of their receivers, and they're like, that's fine. We'll just run Clyde Edwards-Helaire right down the throat all game and dominate time of possession and win this game and grind it out and win it. And that's what they did. They didn't even look like the Chiefs yesterday. Who was that team? Patrick Mahomes ran like twice. The rookies running everywhere. And now they're getting Le'Veon Bell next week. So if Clyde Edwards-Helaire hits a rookie wall, as they usually do, Le'Veon steps right in into a Super Bowl winning organization with Patrick Mahomes, a decent offensive line, and they're playing amazing. Like, I don't understand how, like, has everyone forgotten about the Chiefs or something? It's like it's against the law or something to say that the Chiefs are still the best. Like, they are still the best. They're playing better than the Ravens. Patrick Mahomes is playing better than Lamar Jackson right now, and that doesn't mean I don't still love Lamar Jackson's and the Ravens aren't good. They're just playing better. Like, the Bills are a legitimate team. I don't want to hear about the Bills are on a slide. No, they're not. Okay, their defense isn't as good as it was last year.
They're real.
They're still going to win the AFC East. Josh Allen is still a legitimate quarterback, although I still have some questions, but he's not ready to carry the team on his own, obviously. But he's still a franchise quarterback. Like, the Bills are a good team. Everyone just calm down. They lost to the Titans, who are undefeated, playing pretty well right now. And they lost to the Chiefs, okay? Like, Bills are a legitimate team. So I'm all in on the Chiefs right now, this current moment, and the way that they got their running game going yesterday just proved it for me. They can win multiple ways. They can throw it over the top to Tyreek Hill and score 5 passing touchdowns, or they can just run it all game and do it
that
way.
Yeah, they got options.
Yeah, and they're getting Le'Veon Bell, so they just got another piece to work with. So right now I'm going Chiefs.
All right, that's smart. I'm going to give some honorable mention love to the Seahawks. I feel like Russell Wilson is still in talks for MVP, and they had a bye this week, but they look good. And I checked out their schedule. They have a stretch where they play Philadelphia, both New York teams, and then Washington. I feel like those are gimme games, or they should be. So the Seahawks, they're still out there.
Oh, yeah, the Seahawks are playing great. Russell Wilson's going to win the MVP. The Bucks, the massive win over the Packers. Packers playing great as well, despite that loss. Like, there's a lot of really good teams. I have questions about every other team except for the Chiefs.
that's
on the running game. I wasn't sure about, and now I'm positive about the running game as well. So that to me, they're just the they are the most
check all the boxes
team. They check all the boxes, and they've already proven themselves with this core group. So I know what they're capable of. So to me, that's where I'm at. And then, of course, I'm talking about postseason success as well. Love what the Seahawks are doing, also obviously. I still have this like lingering anxiety about the Titans, but I guess I shouldn't let that go if they beat the Steelers this week. And I feel the same way about the Steelers. So like that game is going to kind of decide that situation for me. But yeah, Seahawks legit, Packers legit, Bucks definitely legit. But for me, the Chiefs are just the whole complete package. Hey T, welcome back.
Thanks, Joy. Hey girl.
What's going on in the culture report this week?
Okay, so disclaimer, I had to turn on my Instagram notifications for the amazing and beautiful Beyonce because, you know, Joy, she likes to drop things unannounced like songs, albums, clothes. And, you know, she catches me off guard, but I feel like it's always the best surprise, so I'm not mad at it. She announced Drip 2, which drops October 30th, her Ivy Park and Adidas collection. And I remember back in January when she was delivering these huge orange boxes to like her friends with the collection. By the way, whoever thought of that was like a complete marketing genius. Super smart. But imagine thinking you and Beyonce are cool and you don't get one. Because I was hurt because we're friends in my head. So I'm seeing people post these boxes of them like putting on clothes and I'm like, must be nice. So anyway, I'm excited. I can't wait to get something. I don't know what that something's going to be, but just know that you will see your girl in Ivy Park all 2021.
That's funny you say that because I literally was thinking the same thing. Like, because I know some people who have who got boxes from Beyonce. So I feel like, you know, I'm like kind of close to Beyonce because I know someone who got a box from Beyonce. And I literally was like, that must be the coolest feeling in the world that like, not only do you know Beyonce, but also Beyonce thinks you're important enough of an influencer to send free Ivy Park for you to wear and show the world. So yeah, that's pretty dope. And I was upset I didn't get a box. Bae, we're very supportive of you, okay? And you know, we would look good in some Ivy Park. You know, 98% of my followers are men, so they're probably not gonna buy much. But you know, the 2% of my female followers might be interested. I'm very excited for it. I actually still do not own any Ivy Park. I wanted to get the shoes last year and then, you know, life happened, so I didn't get around to it. But yes, that's what Beyonce does, though. Beyonce just sneak drops stuff on us. And she's the only one that can get away with that because anyone else were to just overnight drop an album, we would be so upset. But like she drops it and then we're just so excited that there's music and she drops it and we're just so excited that there's new Ivy Park here that we don't even get upset about it. And it's like you said, it's always great. So it's just irrelevant of like when we need to find out about it. She's like, you'll find out when I decide you'll find out about it.
Right. Yeah, it's great. And no one rushes her on anything. It's like she does things at her own time. Like when you're ready, girl, we'll just hold our breath until you say breathe.
We'll be sitting here waiting patiently, right, happily. We'll be happy to wait on you, queen.
Exactly. Okay, so I Know What You Did Last Summer is getting a TV series, Joy. And I'm not really sure how I feel about it because I enjoyed the movie. Sarah Michelle Gellar, you know, Freddie Prinze Jr., Ryan Phillippe, all in one movie. Like, I'm like, I definitely enjoyed it. And I even enjoyed the second one. I Still Know What You Did Last Summer with Brandy and Mekhi Phifer. So I think I may need to see the trailer or like who they cast to decide if I'm even remotely interested in watching, because I just don't know if I want to see this being dragged out with like the killer just seeking revenge and then his son seeking revenge. And like, I just feel like that it's too predictable for me. So as of right now, I'm not interested, but that may or may not change. But I'm kind of over the spin-offs.
They'll have to change the storyline, right? Like, or it'll be too predictable. So how much can you change of the storyline? Admittedly, I haven't seen these movies in a very long time. But because I'm not really into scary movies like that. But yeah, I don't know. I started watching scary series. To me, they're hard to follow after a while. Like, unless it's something like Dexter, but that's not really scary. That's more like drama, gore, you know, because you know who the bad guy is. Like, it's not like you're trying to figure something out. It's not a mystery. And it's kind of, that's the premise of I Know What You Did Last Summer, is that you don't know what's going on. So I don't know. I think it could be interesting, but I'm with you. I want to see who the cast is. And the writing for these shows is just so important. Like, there's so much good television out there that if you have mediocre writing, especially for something that you're remaking, it's really tough for it to catch on. But then you do have a new generation of kids and people who haven't seen or appreciated those movies in their time. Like, they don't care about Freddie Prinze Jr. and Ryan Phillippe. You know what I mean? Like, they don't know what that means. So, and Brandy and Mekhi Phifer, you're like, you know, this is not, it's not relatable to them. So I think that's obviously like why they're doing it. So I think the cast will be important and the writing will be important, but yeah, I might check an episode out. We'll see.
Yeah. Give it a shot.
Yeah. Why not?
Thanks so much for joining us this week on the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast. Thank you again to Derek Henry for stopping by and Crazy Gang. Make sure you follow us on our social media pages at Maybe I'm Crazy Pod. You can also follow myself at Joy Taylor Talks. Subscribe on YouTube and you can listen to the podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. On Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, and the iHeartMedia app. Make sure you vote. Enjoy your week and catch us next week.
Maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm not. Oh.